I had the enormous privilege to be the commanding officer of 4-2 Commando Royal Marines during a six-month tour in Helmand Province, Afghanistan in 2011, 10 years ago now. It was a difficult tour. The greatest threat was improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, and we endured a total of 238 IED incidents, averaging at one every 16 hours throughout the tour. And this accounted for the majority of our casualties, including 7 men killed in action, 45 who sustained life-changing injuries, and the untold number who still today suffer from mental health issues. And this was my second of 3 tours of Afghanistan, and of course these statistics are even harder to bear given recent events in that country. But I am confident we made a difference. Progress was definitely made, albeit not self-sustaining, and we fought in support of a just cause, with courage and tenacity, upholding the finest traditions of the Royal Marines. Those killed in the unit became known as the Magnificent Seven, a name the bereaved families coined themselves. And these are the fine men displayed in the photo before you. Marine Dino Mead, Lieutenant Ollie Augustin, Marine Sam Alexander, Military Cross, Marine Martin Gill, Marine James Wright, Sergeant Barry Weston, Marine David Fairbrother. They all left behind friends and family who loved them dearly. And I recently undertook a Magnificent Seven charity walk with many of them. Having shared a similar journey, the bond they now have with one another is stronger than ever, and it is humbling. No self-pity, just pride. Pride in the achievements of their loved ones, and pride in the organisation they were part of. One of the biggest challenges of my career was the day I stood in front of all the families. We called them the WAGMADs, the wives and girlfriends, mums and dads. 2,000 people packed into the unit gymnasium to brief them before the unit deployed to Afghanistan. They were all part of the team. I knew I had to safeguard the psychological welfare of those at home and abroad. I needed to ensure the men on the front line were not distracted. So I briefed the families on where we were going, what we were going to do, and most importantly, what would happen in the event of an injury or fatality. And that day I made a contract with all the families. I said that whilst I could not promise I would bring everyone back safely, I could promise that if the worst happened, they would get the very best medical treatment available and we would support them all for life. Because our mantra is, once a Marine, always a Marine. And whilst I was deployed, my wife attended every funeral. Of course, there were serving officers who attended on behalf of the Marines, but my wife was there to represent me personally. And she was part of this most incredible support network, the Royal Marines family. And when I returned, I visited every injured Marine in Selihoke Hospital in Birmingham and at Headley Court Rehabilitation Centre, and of course, all the bereaved families. And the majority of the family relatives that I met thanked me. And this was not the reaction I was expecting. They explained that events had played out largely as I said they would, which actually gave them some comfort. And whilst they were all living out their very own worst nightmare, the one constant was the support they received from the Royal Marines family. And this made me extremely proud. Whilst deployed, whenever there was a fatality, my first action was to go directly with my regimental sergeant major to the patrol base where the individual had been located. And after breaking the news to his colleagues, we would share stories to maintain morale. Of course, emotions were extremely raw, but we talked for as long as we needed to make sense of it as best we could. And we always finished by raising a glass in memory of our fallen colleague. This was a truly humbling experience. And one of the questions I am often asked is, how do you get the Marines to go back out on patrol to the same area the very next day? And my response is simple. Firstly, I don't get them to do anything. They are totally self-motivated. Self-motivated by their professionalism and camaraderie. and fundamentally they are more fearful of letting their mates down than anything the enemy might throw at them. And most importantly, if they stop before the job is done, then the fatality would have been for nothing. But if they complete the job, they are honouring the memory of their fallen colleague. There is no greater motivation. And that is what remembrance is all about. We never forget those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. A total of 457 UK servicemen and women have lost their lives in Afghanistan over the last 20 years. Many of us will know one of them. For me, it is the Magnificent Seven from 4-2 Commando Royal Marines in Afghanistan 2011. The fine men in the photo displayed before you. I remember them today and every day.